Welcome to They Mostly Podcast at Night, episode 242, The House on Sorority Row.
When the nightmare ends, this podcast begins.
Ooh.
I like that. I like that tagline. I am here for it. Or are we still the nightmare? Are we the second nightmare?
Are we the daymare?
Ooh, I like a daymare. I like a good daymare.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Awesome.
You know, especially when I'm falling asleep at my desk and I wake up and I'm like, ah! And everyone's like, what happened? I'm like, I fell out of my chair. Wasn't sleeping at work or anything. No, I'm just kidding. Not that any of my coworkers listen to it, but I never sleep at work. I'm a good girl. Somewhat. How you doing? Other than yawning directly into the microphone, how are you doing? Do I bore you? After all these years, does my presence just bore you?
No.
You tired?
No. I just, when I talk a lot, I yawn.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because I could punch you to wake you up if you want me to.
Thanks.
I could punch the size of your face.
No, I'm good. I do not need a punch in the face. Thank you, though, for offering. That's very kind.
I am always willing to help you on that one.
Always. I could tell.
Anyway, so Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year.
It is 2023 officially.
Yes, it is.
Are you guys so excited? It's going to be a great year.
Yeah, you think so?
Yes, I resolved to watch less horror movies. Just kidding.
How is that going to work?
Just kidding. I resolved to be less name-calling to my coworkers. I guess that's a good resolution, right? Stop name-calling my coworkers.
Stop calling your coworkers names?
Yeah, I called one an idiot this morning. In print on Facebook. She told me to stop name-calling her.
So you called her an idiot?
I called her an idiot before she asked me to stop name-calling her.
Oh.
But she is an idiot, so I can call her an idiot.
Especially if she said, stop name-calling me, because that's not a phrase.
I don't remember what she said. She said something, hold on. Stop with the name-calling, I think it was. So... I wanted it typed back. Well, I'm sorry you're a fucking moron, but I guess that's still name calling.
Yeah.
This
sure
name
is.
Calling really needs to just stop and you should just be happy. So, okay. Fuck you. Anyway, what's your resolution? Do you have one?
My resolution is to sleep more.
It's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Both accomplishable and healthy, because more sleep's always good. And it makes you happy when you sleep.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Damn it, I should have picked that. Fuck. I should have picked being nice or some shit like that. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. You won't stick to that for sure.
Yeah, like I give myself one day. And I'm not even there tomorrow and I give myself one day.
Mm-hmm.
So. Well, we hope you guys are good. We hope you guys are being safe, driving home, not drunk from last night or this morning, whenever you're listening to this. And... we hope you had a good party and celebrated the new year with us. Well, not with us, but like in spirit, we're thinking of you all. So,
yeah. Excuse me. Hope you had a good party, but you enjoyed it responsibly.
That's what it is. Responsibly. Yes. Safely and responsibly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are upside down in your cars listening to us, stop listening to us. Call the emergency squad. They will cut you out of your car.
Mm-hmm. Jaws of life
is a good thing. They also put you in this thing called an ambulance and take you away.
Yeah. So. Well, they take you to a hospital where they fix you up in case you broke anything, you know.
That's what I meant by take you away. So away from the scene of the crime.
The crime? You don't know if it was a crime. It was an accident.
That's true. Could have been an accident, as we call it in insurance world. An accident.
A traffic collision.
Again, I still want to do a podcast with just my stories from work about this one woman. This is years ago, so I can tell this, and I'm not naming names. This one woman's son was getting pulled over, so he sped away and hid down an alleyway,
mm-hmm.
and then the cops found him, and then he got arrested for evading arrest, so he got a worse ticket than a speeding ticket originally.
Right.
And she goes, but he was just scared. You just take the speeding ticket. You were hiding to not get the speeding ticket. We knew what was going on.
Right.
I don't care that he was scared. Now it's like a 6-point ticket because he was evading the police. Like, they thought he was on a slow speed, you know,
chase. Yeah.
Fucking moron. Anyway, that's my story for today. But I just think I could have a plethora of stories. I think we should just share them all. Anyway. What did you do for New Year's?
Hasn't happened yet.
Shut up. They don't know that.
Well, I don't have any plans. Do you?
I plan to be drunk by 8 o'clock and asleep by 8:04.
Oh.
So those are my plans. Lofty okay. goals.
Yes.
Goals in my house. What will probably happen is I'll be sober the whole night and fall asleep at 7:37 on my couch.
Mm.
I'll fall asleep before even the 8 o'clock time. So. Mm.
I will be sober as a judge. Well, no, not entirely. I just won't drink.
Oh, puff, puff, pass. Got it.
Yeah. So I'll try to make it till midnight, but I will fail miserably. And I will probably pass out by like 10 o'clock.
Oh, you're going to do better than I will. 10 o'clock's pretty
yeah,
good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's an adult time. Mm-hmm. It's not like a 5-year-old in their onesie.
Or it could be like last year where I made it to midnight, but I was like sleeping like along the way. And my mom, Mama Chaos, was like, "Happy New Year." And I was like, "Happy New Year." Nice. Because I wasn't awake.
Well, last year I had COVID, so I definitely wasn't awake for it. So yeah, I was supposed to be in Massachusetts. I had reservations somewhere. And I had to cancel everything and come home with COVID. So,
yay.
Fuck you, coworkers, again. Oh, look, I didn't even wake a day.
You didn't even make it a day. Oh, my gosh.
You give me COVID, I'm mean to you. So, anyway. Should we talk about who we are and what we do so we can get to this podcast episode?
Yeah, sure. We are the Mostly Podcast at Night.
Mostly.
We are two best friends of 25 years who bicker and banter our way through a different horror movie each week. We take turns picking the flicks so you don't have to. Most out of a desire to share them with you, our lovely, beautiful audience. But sometimes as revenge or prevenge picks. However, that was not this. And, we do that because we have hashtag friendship goals. Our friendship lives in the hashtag Marianas Trench of Hate, where we go to duke it out MMA style every time we don't see eye to eye on movies because we have our very own octagon down there, among other things. Spoilers ahead and expletives ahead.
Yay. Why? No. So why did you pick this movie before I get into what it was?
Oh, because I watched it and I thought it was as good as any.
Okay. No, it's fine. Wasn't really sure. So I was just asking. So, all right. So this week we did The House on Sorority Row. This is the 1982 version. It was an hour and 31 minutes long, rated R, and it got a 5.9 on the IMDb scale. What about the tomato meter?
So glad that you asked, because the tomato meter is a green splotch at a 50%. No critics consensus. Audience score lower than that at a 34%.
Nice. You want to do some casting? This one's got a little bit of a long one. It's the one that's listed as Silent Night in your cast list.
Yes, I know. I have it filled up. Let's do the cast. Kate McNeil was Catherine.
She was in Monkey Shine, Space Cowboys, and Sudden Death.
Eileen Davidson was Vicky.
She's like a soap opera queen. She was in The Young and the Restless, Days of Our Lives, and Symphoria.
Janice Ward was Liz.
She was in Remington Steel, Magnum P.I., and The Munsters.
Robin Malloy is Jeannie.
This is her only acting credit, actually.
Harley Jane Kozak was Diane.
She was in Arachnophobia, Parenthood, and When Harry Met Sally.
Jodie Dragle was Morgan.
Only other movie she's ever done is actually a movie that came out this year, 2022, called Freak.
Hmm. Say chic. Jodie Dragle was Morgan. I just said that. Sorry. Ellen Dorscher was Stevie.
She was only in one other movie called Powerhouse.
Lois Kelso Hunt was Mrs. Slater.
One other movie called Head of State, and she was also in one episode of Homicide, Life on the Streets.
Oh, nice. Christopher Lawrence was Dr. Beck.
This was his only movie, and he was kind of old to have this be his one and only movie. I just thought it was interesting.
And Michael Kuhn was Peter.
Only acting credit, but he's produced more than 25 movies otherwise.
Oh, wow.
Do you want a summary?
I would love one of Carnage's famous 5-second summaries.
House mother is killed accidentally in prank, and things go awry.
Things go so awry. Thank you.
This has the weirdest start.
It does.
I was really concerned because I thought it was going to be all that blue filter when it gets started.
I know.
I was like, no.
It's all this blue filter nighttime. And Mrs. Slater, she's very pregnant. She's ready to have the baby. And this doctor that she goes to, he like takes a scalpel and instead of like sterilizing it with soap and water, he sticks it into the flame of a candle to sterilize it.
But don't worry, he only cuts into a chunk of cheese after that, not really her belly, because that is the special effects they have. It's a hunk of cheese.
Yeah.
It's hysterical.
It's supposed to be her belly, though.
It looks like a cheese knife he's using anyway, so that's perfect.
It's so wrong. And then she asks about her baby, and he says, I'm sorry, and she screams, no! But that is very misleading, and I don't like it when the movie purposefully misleads you like that. Like, the movie basically lies to you to make you think one thing so that you won't think another thing. And I don't like that.
I'm not a fan in general of red herrings.
No.
Lying and red herrings. Like, just don't. Like,
red herrings is one thing, but when you flat out lie to the audience and don't, it irritates me. Because the whole point of these whodunit like slasher movies is like, who's the killer?
Right.
And you're supposed to be able to be fed like breadcrumbs so that you could figure it out. If you can't figure it out because they purposefully mess with you, it's just, it's bad storytelling. It's a bad movie.
Well, it's like the last one we watched. It was, you had no way of knowing. It was this random dude that we never even met through the whole movie.
Right.
Like, what the, just like this one.
Yeah.
Didn't even know he existed.
Yeah.
What the fuck, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like that. Anyway, 20, what is it? 20 years after this happens?
Yes.
Okay.
20 years later, the sorority ladies of whatever sorority they're a part of, they never tell you.
They don't. And there's no sign on the door either.
And there's no sign on the door, are graduating. They have their graduation photo. And then they are packing up to leave, but they're going to stay. The house is supposed to close today, and they're going to stay till Friday to decorate because they had to move their graduation party from where it was going to be to the house without the house mother's permission. And the house mother gets wind of this and throws a fit.
Who is Mrs. Slater?
Mrs. Slater is the house mother.
Yeah.
Yes. The same lady from the beginning. Yes. She doesn't look any different age-wise either. Mm-mm. No.
Which is creepy.
And then later they show her standing in front of portraits of her with the different generations of girls that have come through the house. And she's the exact same age in every single portrait, even the ones that are in black and white.
It's creepy.
Yeah. It's just because they didn't have the budget.
I was going to say, it was just lazy filmmaking. Yeah, it wasn't because she's like magical or anything.
No, she's not magical.
They had no makeup makeup budget or special effects budget, obviously, or anything.
Yeah, no. Imagine a horror movie with zero special effects.
Awesome. Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
The Lost Pastor.
Well, that's different. So they tell her they're going to have this party. They're staying on until Friday to set up for it. She wants them to leave immediately by the next day. And she says, whose idea was this? And they say, it's Vicky's idea. Where's Vicky? Well, we don't know. Vicky's off shooting a gun with her boyfriend.
It's like such a weird insert. Like, here, let me teach you how to shoot a gun. Okay.
Yeah. And she's really good at it right off the bat.
Because naturally.
Yeah.
Because movie.
Because movie.
Everyone that shoots a gun gets a bullseye every time and shoots the can.
Every time. Every time.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I knew a kid once who was target shooting and he scratched his hip with the gun and shot himself in the hip.
Fucking moron. But did he die?
No, he was fine.
Okay. Sorry, every time I think of something like that, I think of like Jennifer Coolidge and Ostland. But did you die?
I know. No, he didn't die. He was just a moron.
Okay, I have questions about the next scene.
Okay.
Because Vicky brings her boyfriend home and she's like, wait 20 seconds, it comes up. And she stretched out on this waterbed. She's like, look what daddy bought me. Okay. The reason I have questions is they're moving out.
Right.
Has he never been in her bedroom before? Which I don't believe that, knowing them. So why would daddy buy her a waterbed right before she moves out?
Yeah, that makes no sense.
How has he never seen her bed before?
Especially because she's graduating. It's not like she's just moving out for the summer and she'll be back.
Right. She's going forever.
Yeah. But
she's never coming back again.
But the day before she leaves, she gets a brand new waterbed.
The fuck? Yeah.
And gets it installed and inflated and everything else without anyone knowing.
I do got to say, I miss waterbeds. I thought they were so much fun as a kid. And I got to imagine as an adult sleeping in one, I got to imagine that's like a lot of fun. But I don't think they even make them anymore. I haven't seen a waterbed since like the late 80s.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll tell you, when in the 80s, when I was living in Atlanta, Georgia, the house next door to us was a rental. And the people who lived there had a waterbed. Mm. And the reason I know this is because the girlfriend lit it on fire and it burned the house down.
Holy shit. Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Was it filled with like gas? Because I didn't think water like caught on fire. So
it doesn't, but you can apparently light your waterbed on fire and burn the house down even though it's full of water.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Fun. Fun times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, things go awry here with the waterbed.
Things do go awry because Mrs. Slater finds them in flagrante delicto.
I knew you were going to say that. Oh, my God. Knocking boots, as us regular people say.
Yes. And she uses her very sharp-tipped cane to rip a big hole in the waterbed, which makes Vicky very, very angry and vow to get back at her.
As soon as she can climb out of the water ball pit.
Yeah.
That fucking cane looked like a miner's claw. Like a miner's, do you know what I'm trying to say? A miner's hammer?
Like a pick?
Pick. Thank you. Shut up. Thank you. Yes. A miner's pick. That thing was sharp as shit, dude.
Yeah, it was. Oh, we're supposed to get rain soon.
Oh.
Or rain is supposed to stop soon?
It's not raining.
It's not raining.
Lies. It's all lies.
It was telling me, yeah, it's telling me it's raining right now. It's not. Earlier it was telling me it was snowing. It wasn't.
There's a 70% chance that it might be raining. Oh, wait, no, it's not.
Mean Girls throwback.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, so then what happens next?
Vicky gets her revenge.
Vicky, oh yeah, so they're down by the pool, which is this gross pool that's like got green water and all kinds of debris and an old tire in it. An old tire, what the hell?
Oh my God.
And they complain that the house mother won't clean the pool because they don't use it, but they don't use it because it doesn't get cleaned.
Just a vicious cycle it is.
Mm-hmm. But they're having lunch, and Vicky determines that they need to play a prank on Mrs. Slater, and that this prank will teach her a lesson and get back at her, and Vicky will feel better. So they decide, Vicky decides, they talk about like flaming bag of dog poo or changing her bed or TPing her room. Vicky's got the perfect idea because she has a gun.
Why not? Because reason.
Because movie. Vicky has a gun. Her boyfriend gave it to her. Mm-hmm. And she's going to scare Mrs. Slater with the gun. So the next day, Mrs. Slater wakes up and she's missing her cane. So she gets up and she goes and finds the girls. The girls are setting up for the party and she gets so mad and she insists they take everything down and vacate the premises immediately. And Vicky says, well, you're missing something though, aren't you? And she says, where's my cane? And she says, go look in the pool. So they've draped her cane across the old tire in the pool.
In the middle of the pool.
In the middle, yeah, of the pool. And they all go out there with her, and then Vicky insists that she go get it, take a swim. Mrs. Slater says no. Vicky pulls the gun. Mrs. Slater doesn't believe her. It's just like an empty kind of threat. It might as well be a water pistol. Mm-hmm. Until she...
she shoots the light. There's a light post nearby, and she shoots the light out of the light post. And then Liz comes up to her to tell her to knock it off, and she shoots her in the ankle. And so then Mrs. Slater's like, oh, crap, okay. So she gets Mrs. Slater to climb down into the pool, and then she pulls the trigger again, but nothing happens. And Mrs. Slater's like, oh, my God, you beast. And she laughs. And Liz laughs. And they both think it's hysterical that they've faked this whole thing. Like, Liz has faked the injury to her ankle. Mm-hmm. She's fine. All the other girls are, like, shocked because they did not know that it was going in this direction.
No.
Whatsoever. And then when Mrs. Slater goes to get out of the pool, Vicky accidentally pulls the trigger again and shoots her for real.
Well, Mrs. Slater swipes at them with the cane.
Yes.
And that's when they get them to turn around because they took their eyes off their enemy. That's the first mistake. And they shoot her again to get her away from them.
You're very correct. That is the first mistake. Never take your eyes off the enemy.
Second mistake is not to double tap.
Right. But so they drag her out of the pool and they do mouth to mouth, but she's dead. So they wrap her up in towels and they decide the best place to hide her would be in the pool.
Yeah.
Because they're having a party that night.
God forbid they cancel the party, you know, because of a dead person.
They can't cancel the party. Katie wants to call an ambulance. She wants to call the police, but they're scared and they won't let her.
There's always one voice of reason in the group.
Right. But then she's like, okay, well, she gives in, so she's not really any better. So they throw her back in the pool, and they go to start the party. And it's funny, because as this party's going on, like, the girls are in and out. They're never at the party for very long, because things keep going awry. And yet, nobody notices. The party never stops. Like, before it's supposed to, anyway. Like, people just keep partying even though they're never there.
Right. Well, that's an open house party.
Yeah.
Yeah. The band's there, which is 4 out of 5 Doctors is the name of the band in real life.
Yeah.
I fucking love this name. 4 out of 5 Doctors.
Not the band so much, but the name. No, very, but the name. Clever.
I'm really here for the name, so.
Mm-hmm. Very clever name. So, at the party, they think Mrs. Slater has come back to life or maybe never was really dead.
Yeah, because the tarp that they had wrapped her in makes an appearance.
Right. And so they think she's still alive. And then Katie again wants to go to the police. But they're like, no, no, no. If she were alive, wouldn't she have already called the police? So she must be dead. So, logic.
Of course. Of course. She wouldn't get a revenge or anything.
Right. She would just call the police. So,
subplot, the police hate her because she keeps calling noise complaints. And that's why she won't call the police, because she can't trust them. Just saying.
So the girls realize that if somebody turns the pool lights on, you'll be able to see the body. Mm. So they send, what's her name, Stevie, to go turn off the breaker to the pool lights so that nobody can do that, because their foolproof plan only has one weakness, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and then people actually going in the pool like they were trying to do earlier.
Yeah, people keep trying to go into the pool.
And push others into it.
Like, or push other people thing. Into the pool. Or go in themselves. Or there's like this one kid who's like, I'm a water pig. He's in the pool and they all rush out to see him and he's like, what's going on? So he's like, I'm a water pig. That was like the one part that made me genuinely laugh. they tell Morgan to go pack Slater's clothes so that it looks like she's left while they go searching for her body. Well, Morgan is doing this, singing away as she pulls clothes out of the closet, and then the attic door opens and Slater's body comes rushing out and smacks her in the head. She goes down.
Well, before this, doesn't Stevie get killed by the lights when she goes to turn off
the
lights?
Oh, yeah. Stevie does get killed. I forgot to mention that Stevie got killed. No one misses her for a while. Nobody mentioned. Yeah, nobody.
They just split up. They do the one thing you're not supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. They split up because, of course, they do. So then they've got the body back, and Vicky suggests that they should go hide it in the cemetery. Katie goes into the attic to look around. She discovers children's toys and a bird cage with a dead bird inside.
Morgan goes to her room.
Morgan goes to her room because she doesn't want to be part of it. And she gets stabbed with Mrs. Slater's cane in her bedroom. And this whole time you're seeing people getting killed by this cane, but you're not seeing Mrs. Slater. But sometimes you get glimpses of the person who's doing it. And they kind of look like they might be her.
But they have the dead body.
But they have the dead body. Well, they haven't looked at the dead body, though.
Oh, actually, that could be anyone.
Right. So later, Katie actually thinks it must be somebody else and that Mrs. Slater must be alive. But anyway, we'll get to that. Diane goes out to grab the van to transport Slater's body to the cemetery, but the killer breaks through the sunroof and murders her. Jeannie is shortly after that decapitated with a butcher knife in the bathroom. Katie finds a medical alert tag on a necklace that belongs to Mrs. Slater.
Mm-hmm.
And so she calls the number and is put through to a Dr. Beck who comes to the house.
Which we see the scene earlier when Dr. Beck is like dealing with the combative Mrs. Slater trying to give her this. It was just funny. It's like, just take it.
Yeah. What is the big deal?
Take it.
Take the emergency bracelet. Mm. You might need it, or necklace, whatever. The two of them discover the bodies of Stevie, Morgan, and Diane in the pool. Vicky and Liz find the van, but not Diane. So they they go to the cemetery without her to bury Slater's body. They get there and they find an open grave. So they're digging it deeper to like bury underneath the grave so that when the body intended for the grave goes in, then they'll
put it right on top.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Not the worst idea they've ever had, honestly.
No, the worst. But Liz goes back to the van and gets killed by the attacker. And then Vicky goes back to the van and gets killed by the attacker. Dr. Beck takes Katie to the cemetery, and that's where they find the bodies of Vicky and Liz. And Katie's like, well, this can't be Slater's body that is in the back of the van. It must be Stevie's. So he looks and no, it's Mrs. Slater. She is definitely dead.
Right. That's what Dr. Beck has, like this Oprah moment.
Dr. Beck knows who the killer is. He knows what's going on. He takes Katie back at the house and then forcibly gives her a sedative. He reveals that Mrs. Slater had a son named Eric who, because of the experimental fertility drug she insisted that he give her, was born deformed and mentally underdevelopment. Underdevelopment? Underdeveloped.
Which doesn't make one a monster.
No, it does not. It's that is something that I don't like about this movie is that it preys on this idea that somebody who's physically deformed and mentally underdeveloped must be like ready to have a psychotic break and start killing people at any moment.
It's the age in the movie makes that, you know, I mean, it's like the Elephant Man syndrome, you know, like it's, if it's something odd, it must be bad. You know what I mean? Like, you know, so I mean,
Absolutely, yeah.
But here's my question for you, though. He fucking delivered Eric. How did he not know he was alive? Like, what? Did he just think he died after birth? And wouldn't he have been the one to sign the death certificate?
Because he said that Eric lived at the clinic all year round, except for the summers when he lived in the attic of the sorority house.
Right.
So he knew Eric was alive.
But he goes, he's alive, is what he says when he finds that it's Slater's body. Like, didn't you just see him like 2 weeks ago when he was at the clinic? I mean,
hello. And he was the one who like knew before that. He was sure that he knew that it was Eric doing the killing.
Plot hole.
Big, huge plot hole. Dr. Beck uses Katie as bait so he can capture Eric and cover up the crime. Katie runs to Vicky's room and gets her gun. Eric arrives. Well, he shows up. He's already at the house. And he hacks Dr. Beck to death. Vicky finds him, tries to shoot him, but the gun doesn't go off. It won't fire. So she flees to the bathroom, which is where she finds Jeannie's severed head in the toilet. Nice.
Wait, does she... Oh, no, that's later. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
So she's horrified by this. She climbs back into the attic and she has a plan to lure Eric to her, where she takes a jack-in-the-box and winds it up and puts it on the edge of the opening to the attic so that it plays its song, and she has the gun and she waits for Eric to show up.
Here's the problem I have with this, though. So Dr. Beck shoots her with a sedative, right? Mm-hmm. He accidentally shoots Peter as well, and he's out like a fucking light. Yeah. How is this chick still going? I mean, granted, she's having like hallucinations at that time too, and like memories and of her friends, and like, you know, her brain's a little wishy-washy. But how the fuck is she not out? Like Peter like fell asleep right away.
Yeah, he did. I know. And he shot him with the same sedative. Mm-hmm. So it's like, why did Peter fall asleep and she's still awake?
With a gun.
With a gun. She finally realizes, well, Eric like emerges. He's in this clown costume that she saw before, but it was empty before. Mm-hmm. Now he's in it and in the same spot. So she doesn't realize that he's there. He surprises her. She shoots him repeatedly, but the gun is loaded with blanks. So then she pulls the head off a doll.
No, wait. She throws the gun at him.
She throws the gun at him, yes.
Because that always works in movies.
She pulls the head off a doll, and there's this big knife in the neck of the doll. Like, how did she know that was there?
I know how. Okay, so Eddie Murphy, she saw the SNL version where Eddie Murphy plays Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, the Christmas one, where he makes dolls with knives and Cabbage Patch dolls. You didn't see that one?
No.
Okay. So Eddie Murphy made the doll, basically, is the story.
Oh. And did this happen before 1982?
It had been in the 70s, yes.
Okay. So apparently that was how she knew. Somehow she knows this, and she stabs him numerous times, and he falls through the attic door to the floor below. She is exhausted, so she lays down on the floor there in the attic, and because she thinks he's dead. However, right at the end of the film, he opens his eyes, and we don't find out what happens to Katie. But really, my thinking is, if this were real life, with his eyes closed, that would mean he's still alive. And when the eyes open, then he's dead.
Good point. So maybe he's dead now.
But in movies, yeah, like unrealistic movies, he opens his eyes and that's how we know he's supposed to be still alive. And we don't know what happens to Katie.
Well, you find out in the sequel, probably.
I don't know if there is a sequel.
I'm pretty sure there's a House on Sorority Row 2, but I don't think she's in it. Let me check. And I just have something to say here about this. Knowing fluff chicks, as we call them, which are sorority girls.
Uh-huh.
The last house on Sorority Row. Haunted house on Sorority Row. No, I guess not. I guess maybe they were trying to set it up for the sequel, but they
didn't. They were trying to set it up for a sequel, but yeah, I don't think that a sequel ever happened.
knowing when I know of sorority and like the Greek life.
Now be careful because lots of people are sorority people. So no, don't insult our audience.
I was in a fraternity. It's totally fine. I'm not being insulting. I'm being honest. Knowing when I know of Greek life though, that is so legitimately not accurate. Like they would have had the letters on the house.
Yeah.
They would have been wearing gear with the letters. They would have had the letters on the wall. They would have had their paddles with the letters all like it could have been any boarding house. It was sorority row because it was college girls and yeah. You know, they could have tried. I mean, you have letters everywhere. Like that is the Greek are really proud, especially the social Greeks. They are so proud that they got in. They worked harder at it than we did. But they're so proud of it that they got in that they just show it everywhere. Like, yeah. I never knew a Greek that wasn't always in some kind of Greek lettering. Sure. At all times. Seriously. So,
and I'm sure it was like that in the 80s.
I'm sure it was. Yeah, I'm sure it didn't just happen in the 90s. So
yeah.
I just wanted to point out that fallacy because I'm like, come on, Lambda, Lambda, Lambda even tried, you know. It's like the stupidest fucking fraternity name ever, but give it some kind of name, even if you had to make up a name for it so you didn't offend a real sorority, you know?
Yeah. A remake titled Sorority Row was released in 2009.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's what I saw.
So not a sequel, but a remake. Oh. Carrie Fisher is in it.
Interesting. We might have to check that out then.
No, thank you.
It's Carrie Fisher, though.
I don't care.
You know what? Fine. Fine. I have no fan fiction again. And I'm terribly sorry. Do you have any trivia for this one since it was your pick?
No, I don't have any. I was looking, but there really isn't much about it. It did well in the box office. I don't know what the budget was, but its ultimate gross totaled over $10 million.
Okay, it had to be a lot less than that, honestly, because this was not a high... I mean, look, they
was
had,
not a high production quality.
They fucking
film,
used
no.
cheese. I mean, hold on, let me look at the budget real fast. If it's in here. Budget was $425,000.
Okay, so yeah.
Did really well.
Did really well.
It's kind of like a cult classic right now, so apparently.
Yeah.
Because it only made $600 at the movie theater. Mm-hmm. So it made what it, you know, but yeah. Anyway.
Quentin Tarantino included the film in his inaugural film festival in 97.
Oh, seriously?
Yep. Nice. Screening it alongside other horror films such as Don't Go in the House and The Beyond. Jeez. It was mentioned in Scream 2, along with The Dorm That Dripped Blood, Splatter University, Graduation Day, and Final Exam.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. That's all I have, though.
I don't have anything. I'm sorry. Yeah. I failed you this time.
It's all right.
Should we rate then?
Sure. Oh, you'll like this. It yeah. was partly inspired by the 1955 French film Les Diaboliques.
Oh, how?
I don't know.
No. The pool? Are we fucking serious? Like, that's... No. That is the smallest of... No. I reject that. Rejection.
Rejection.
No. All right.
So anyway.
Your movie. You rate.
Oh, okay. I'm rating. I am going to give this movie... A 4.
Okay. I'm right near you. I'm a little bit higher, actually, because I just think it was like... Kind of funny in places, because I don't think it was supposed to be.
It was funny in places, maybe not on purpose.
4.226.
Oh, okay.
So I'm right near you.
You're right near me, yeah.
Plus, it was better than the last movie, so yeah, obviously I have to go higher. All right. Well, I guess we should probably pimp it out then.
Okay. No fan fiction?
None. Disappointed again.
Disappointing.
I don't
okay.
even have one to make.
So let's see. I'm going to say that Katie gets killed by the killer, who's not really dead.
Okay.
Because the sedatives finally do their work and she's no longer able to fight them off.
Okay.
She succumbs to the sedatives and then he just easily kills her in the end.
Does he have a happy ending, though, at least?
He goes on to a new town to try to get over the death of his mother, where he meets a very sweet girl with a nice personality, and they end up getting married and having four children until he starts killing again, and then she divorces him, and the children all avoid him forever and disavow him as their father, and he goes to jail.
Is Elon Musk's life story? No? Okay.
Close.
All right. Let's get the fuck out of here.
All right. We are part of the Morbidly Beautiful podcast network. Morbidlybeautiful.com is your place for all things horror, and they have a great podcast network. So if you like horror podcasts, can't talk today, you should go to their site. It'll be linked in the show notes, and you might find something else that you like just as much. So if you would like to interact with us, we are at Podcast at Night everywhere on social media. We have a Facebook group, a Twitter, and an Instagram where we primarily hang out, as well as a Slasher and a Good Pods. That'll be linked in the show notes, along with our merch store. If you have any cash to flash, that'll be linked in the show notes as well. And the sale's probably over by now.
Probably.
But go check out our designs over on Threadless. And if you'd like to do something for us, but you don't have money, that's no problem. We get it. We don't have money either. But you could always leave us a review wherever you listen. We'd really appreciate it. It gets more listeners on the show. So it's very handy, and it doesn't have to take more than 5 minutes. So thanks so much for listening. And this is Chaos saying good night and stay bloodthirsty, friends.
Good night from Carnage. And as always, we are filmed in front of a live studio audience of midnight celebrating kitties. They're drunk. They really can't meow right now. You're drunk. Go home, cats.